From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and founder of Let the Bible Speak. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 5. On mine arm shall they trust. In seasons of severe trial, the Christian has nothing on earth that he can trust to, and is therefore compelled to cast himself on his God alone. When his vessel is on its beam ends, and no human deliverance can avail, he must simply and entirely trust himself to the providence and care of God. Happy storm that wrecks a man on such a rock as this! Oh, blessed hurricane that drives the soul to God and God alone! There is no getting at our God sometimes because of the multitude of our friends. But when a man is so poor, so friendless, so helpless that he has nowhere else to turn, he flies into his Father's arms and is blessedly clasped therein. When he is burdened with troubles so pressing and so peculiar that he cannot tell them to any but his God, he may be thankful for them, for he will learn more of his Lord then than at any other time. O tempest-tossed believer, it is a happy trouble that drives thee to thy Father. Now that thou hast only thy God to trust to, see that thou puttest thy full confidence in him. Dishonor not thy Lord and Master by unworthy doubts and fears, but be strong in faith, giving glory to God. Show the world that thy God is worth 10,000 worlds to thee. Show rich men how rich thou art in thy poverty, when the Lord God is thy helper. Show the strong man how strong thou art in thy weakness, when underneath thee are the everlasting arms. Now is the time for feats of faith and valiant exploits. Be strong and very courageous, and the Lord thy God shall certainly, as surely as he built the heavens and the earth, glorify himself in thy weakness, and magnify his might in the midst of thy distress. The grandeur of the arch of heaven would be spoiled if the sky were supported by a single visible column, and your faith would lose its glory if it rested on anything discernible by the carnal eye. May the Holy Spirit give you rest in Jesus this closing day of the month.
Thank you.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Currently, Dr. Cairns is preaching a message entitled, The Law in the Life of the Believer. Although no one is saved by attempting to keep God's law, those who have received Christ as Savior have a duty to keep the moral law. Salvation by grace frees God's people to serve Him without guilt. Paul said that he delighted in the law of God. The law has no power to motivate to obedience. It's only by looking to Jesus Christ that one can cheerfully keep God's law. Now to continue this message, The Law in the Life of the Believer. Here is Dr. Cairns.
The last time I preached on the law, I preached on the unlawful use of the law, if you remember. And in 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10, the verses we looked at, we have a statement there that antinomians make very much of. The law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, and goes on down a list of all these wicked people. The law is not made. You look up all the commentators, most of them will tell you the law was not enacted for a righteous man. The law is enacted for sinners. I believe they have missed the point. The word that is translated made is a word that has various applications, but literally it is to lie upon. And I think what Paul is saying is that the law does not lie with a burden, especially of condemnation, upon a sea of man. He certainly doesn't mean the law was not enacted for a righteous man. To whom did God first give his law? To Adam in the Garden of Eden. Was Adam a righteous man then? Sure he was. But God gave him his law. The Lord Jesus Christ was righteous. Listen, he was made under the law. So the law was enacted for righteous and unrighteous. Those words have no meaning apart for creatures, apart from the law. The old Puritans had the grip on this text. I have to say to you, if you really want to understand what the Bible teaches about the Christian and the law and Christian living and Christian sanctification, you need to go away back beyond the 20th century and even the 19th century and the 18th century and the 17th. Well, the 17th would be the one. Get to the Puritans, the old English theologians and preachers who knew the book on this subject. They used to say that the law was not given to condemn righteous Christians as sinners. And anybody who uses it like that is using it illegally. Listen to how Paul sums it up. 1 Corinthians 9:21, it's a verse that every Christian should underline. We are not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. Here are three things. Christian, mark them, learn them, inwardly digest them, never forget them. A Christian is not without the law. He's not lawless. If you're lawless, you're not a Christian. Now understand me. If you are lawless, you are godless, and you are Christless, and you are lifeless. A Christian is not without the law. But as we have read, believers are not under the law. That is, under its condemnation. But the word that Paul here uses in 1 Corinthians 9:21, we are under the law to Christ. In some ways that's an unfortunate translation, though to be honest I'm not sure how they could have translated it to make sense without a long explanation. The word is, Christians are in law. That is, they are not outside the law. The law is their rule and their direction. One of the old Puritan writers put it like this: the liberty of a Christian man is not liberty from the obedience of the law, but from the disobedience of the law. That's the liberty of a Christian. When I hear these Christians talking about Christian liberty, the liberty to run to bars and floor shows and theaters and nightclubs and the drinking sessions, that's Christian liberty. Man, they haven't a clue what Christian liberty is about. Christian liberty is not the liberty to disobey God's law and get away with it. Christian liberty is a liberty from that bondage to sin to enable you to obey. It's a liberty to obey God. So that's your duty as a Christian. Time forbids that I spent much time on this, and I'll simply mention it because I've dealt with it at length before. As a Christian, if you're really a Christian, listen to me, your duty will be your delight. Remember what we read before from the 37th Psalm about the law in the Christian's heart and how delightful it is? I gave you the statement of the great C.H. Spurgeon, in the mind it puzzles, on the back it burdens, but in the heart it delights. If you're really saved, it's not only your duty to keep God's law, but it will be your delight to do so. Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. The psalmist, we were singing about this tonight in the 19th Psalm, said of God's laws that they are more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. John the Apostle put it this way in 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God. Now watch it carefully. If you don't love God, you're lost. Understand that. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. That's the first great commandment. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, let him perish. How do you know if you love God? This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Listen carefully. His commandments are not grievous. The man who moans under the burden of the will of God and the commandments of God, and he's trying to shake free from them, and he lives his life in rebellion against the commandments of God, that man is saying clear as day, my heart is still unrenewed. I have no delight in God or God's law. You may bend your back to do a duty, but if your heart is not in it, it's confession, you still need Christ. The attitude to the law shows the true state of your heart. I want you to understand this. It's one of the great burdens of every gospel preacher. We get shocks from time to time. We minister to people week after week. We see them come, they sing, they bow their heads to pray. They read the scriptures with us. They even may give comment or response to the preaching of the Word of God. Many a time we live long enough to find that they never knew Christ. We see them drop off into sin and into perdition. My friend, I want to deal as honestly with your soul and with my own soul as I possibly can tonight. You don't get saved by law keeping, but once God saves you by Jesus Christ, it's your duty to keep God's law. It will be your delight to keep God's law. But obviously, delighting in God's law and actually doing it are often two different things. So it's very important to notice this. And this is where many people go wrong. The motivation and the power to keep the law of God never come from the law, but they always come by grace through faith in Christ. Sanctification is obedience to God. That is keeping His law. I think I could make a case that every command in the New Testament, for in the New Testament church, is but an exposition of the Ten Commandments. It's an exposition of the moral enactments of God. It's working it out into every part of our life. So this is the standard. But where do you get the power? Where do you get the ability? Listen, the law can tell you what to do, what not to do, but it can never give you the power to do it. One leading theonomist, probably the greatest of all theonomists, said, justification is by faith, but sanctification is by law. And he was 100% wrong. Sanctification fulfills the law, but it is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 will show you the process of sanctification, and I would ask you to underline it, memorize it, pray over it, think about it, never forget it. If you're a Christian, here is the secret of sanctification. We all with open, that is with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass, and the glass here is the law of God, it is the word of God, the glory of the Lord, beholding in Scripture the glory of the Lord. What happens? We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. How is a Christian changed? He's changed from the inside out. He's changed as he beholds the glory of Christ. The trouble with so many Christians is they spend so little time beholding Christ that they are not as like him as they ought to be. It is by beholding Christ, studying the glory of Christ, meditating upon the person and work of Christ, understanding what you are and have in Christ, that will change your life more than anything. In fact, it is the only thing that will really change your life. And that's why in Romans 7, dealing with the place and function of the law in the life of the believer, Paul speaks of us serving in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What does that mean? You know, those words are so familiar, and I dare say not one preacher in 10 understands what it means, never mind the people in the pew. To serve him in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Remember the context. He says, believers serve God as those who are now married to Christ, not merely by some outward conformity to rules. There are some people who are very good at keeping a set of rules, at least to the extent of impressing you and me. I'm thinking of one at the moment who could set up a set of rules, and he could, as far as you could see his life, and as far as I could see his life, he could keep to the rules, and he knew how to do that, and he could do it in such a way as to put you under great guilt for not living up to his rules. Was he sanctified? I doubt if he is ever saved. It's not an outward conformity merely. It is living as one who is married to Christ. Now that makes it very understandable. Many of you, I was going to say most of you, but I haven't done a head count, so many of you are married. And the rest of you are still praying about it. Either how to get in or how to escape. Now take your marriage relationship. As a husband or a wife, isn't it a simple thing? Doesn't it simplify life greatly? What is right for you as a husband or as a wife? I'm married. What does that marriage state dictate that I do? If you're married, Let me tell you, the married state will make sure that you're not going out for dinner with somebody else's wife. You see, that relationship dictates clearly what you should do. And that's what Paul's saying, serve him in the newness of the Spirit. You're married to Christ. He's your great motivator and your great enabler. He has written his law, Hebrews 8 and 10, on your heart. It's his love that constrains you. Listen, the power to obey God's law does not come from the law. It comes from Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.